The blind stares of a million pairs of eyes, looking hard but won't realize that they will never see the pea.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday.
What's the word, Truth Nation?
What's the word, Meech?
You know. Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, Taco Tuesday.
I forgot to have tacos.
You forgot that. It ain't too late. It's only 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Go grab some tacos. Shout out to all the listeners. Please make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth. Tap in. Today is a special day. We have some special guests coming up. Mike Shane, a.k.a. Lil Mike Hawthorne, a.k.a. Lil M.H., as well as H1A Hook, who are some very incredible artists from the city of Milwaukee. Today is also the birthday of Tupac Amaru Shakur. Happy birthday, Pac. Shout out to all of my fellow board members at the Tupac Amaru Shakur Foundation. Peace and love to my sister Set, the entire Shakur family, Mopreen. Rest peacefully, Afeni, Matulu, and Tupac. We are currently doing the work in the community, and we are looking for donations. So if you are willing to donate to Tupac's foundation, you could text Tupac to 44321. Again, that's Tupac to 44321. With that being said, yesterday we had some youth on the station.
Yeah.
And although we were talking about music and we were able to play their music, they had some very, very incredible stories and some things that they mentioned when it came to the relationships that their generation has with adults as far as support and how they feel that they're looked at. And that's something that I could not bypass. We didn't have enough time to dig into it yesterday, but I want to touch on it today because to me it was a cry for help. And shout out to Edwin Lee and Darius Ashford, two students from Notes for Notes at Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy.
Yeah, great young men yesterday.
Man, they did an amazing job, and they had some great analogies, but one of the things that stuck out to me the most was that they feel like no matter what they do, no matter how much they separate themselves from the youth who are not on the right path, they still feel as if adults in society will continue to group them with those youth instead of separating them and seeing them for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy he had was, it's like sitting in a classroom and everybody in the front row got their hands up to answer the question, and they're in the back with their hands up. But because everybody in the front row has the wrong answer, they no longer are willing to ask another student who's all the way in the back. So it's almost like they just get bunched in automatically,
mm-hmm.
assume that they don't know the answer either. And to that point, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically C1YN, CMR.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's basically the analogy he gave. Like, regardless of performance, regardless of, you know, anything else that may have been going on in the classroom, they basically saying, as soon as one person get the wrong answer, everybody got the wrong answer.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear from nobody. This person acting crazy, all y'all gonna act crazy.
Yep. And the crazy thing about it is, well, let me ask you this, Meech. Do you agree? Do you think that us as adults, that we have a habit of grouping all of the youth together collectively based off of their behavior?
I mean, yeah. You know, I'm guilty of it, you know. You know, stereotyping YNs as soon as you see them, regardless of where they at, anything that you might presumably think of is, you, once you see some, you see a YN, you think he's YN.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what you calling them. You know what I mean? It usually be a kid or a young teen or youth, but you know, you pretty much bunching them into the YN group.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you asked a very important question yesterday that I think a lot of adults don't ask children, and that was, if they considered themselves as YNs.
Mm-hmm.
And
the way, no.
Exactly. And the way they broke it down was incredible. Like, he was saying that he purposely don't wear the attire that the YNs wear because he does not want to be classified as a YN. And that speaks volumes on both sides. A, because he's conscious enough to make an executive decision to say, I know that I am a target if I dress this way, so I don't want to dress this way. The flip side of that is every young man that dressed like that is not a YN, but it's a part of their culture, the new generation, right? It's the same as stereotyping, like back in the day when we used to go to the club on Water Street and they say, you can't get in if you got a white tee and baggy pants. That don't mean everybody is out here hustling or doing whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's part of the culture.
It's part of the culture. So to hear them speak about that was disheartening to me because I can only imagine how many other youth feel that way. And I know last week we had a conversation about how they wear, you know, the adults in society tease them about, and I'm guilty of it.
That's what I said.
90 degrees, they got on hoodies and masks.
I mean, when he said that, that's the first thing I thought of. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, how many times I done seen, you know, all black hoodie, black mask, group 4 or 5 kids.
Yep.
Bus stop or just roaming, you know, neighborhoods or, you know, just.
It's with
just,
that attire on.
Yeah, I mean, or sitting at Sherman Park or any park, you just get to thinking like, man, look.
He on one.
Right? they on one.
They on one. You know and I mean? 50% of them probably is doing it because they got into something and they don't want to be seen. But then there's the other 50% who we talked about this, I feel like is just hiding from the world. Like they're trying to, they don't want to be seen, not just physically, but internally. It's like they're trying to hide themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's confidence. That's dealing with judgment, with everything. You know, if you adapt an attitude based off of your environment. So if you feel that everywhere you go, the response you get from people, adults, when you walk past is that they're afraid of you, then at some point you're going to rebel against trying to make them understand why they need not to, and you're just going to not care.
Yeah.
You know, which is, again, is very unfortunate. Me, when I see them, I don't be scared. Now, if they speeding and doing certain stuff, I be kind of, you know, a little cautious. But my initial instincts when I see a young black man, no matter what he has, is not fear. It's more so empathy. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on with them to make them feel like they have to dress this way or act this way or think this way? And I feel like we are responsible.
Yeah. I mean, you think about what they said, and then you could kind of be on their side. Mm-hmm. But then let's hear from a YN that's really on the stuff they said YNs be on and see how he feel and why he's covering his identity or walking around in 100 degree weather, you know what I mean, with layers of clothes on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's just hear, you know, we have to hear both sides. You know what I mean? It's disheartening to hear their side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they could tell you that they're not on that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But let's see the other side.
Because
I done talked to young men
that
have been totally 100% with the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's almost the same thing. I don't want nobody to see me, bro. Big bro. This and that. I ain't got nowhere to go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It be, you know, stuff like that.
And they out here, like, let's say that we have a youth that dresses that way and they aren't into anything, right? And they don't have anywhere to go. They still have to protect themselves because they are lit at this point. Mm-hmm. Just walking around.
Yeah.
They don't have to necessarily be involved in anything. It's just the fact that other young men out there who see them out and about may want to try them. You know what I mean? So it's all survival, but who's at fault? Mm-hmm. You know, is it the parents? Is it the community? Is it society overall? I just feel like we play a huge part, and I get so frustrated when I hear youth like Edwin and Darius, who I know are great kids, but even if they were into trouble, the fact that they feel this way, like no matter what I do, it's almost like giving up. No matter what I do, y'all gonna view me a certain way. And there's nothing I can do about it. So the only thing I can do, if I make music, instead of putting my hands on somebody, y'all got something to say about that.
Yeah.
If I go play basketball, instead of being in the streets, but I still dress this way, y'all going to have something to say about that. So it's almost like a lose-lose situation.
It's been a lose-lose situation. Even when we grew up, like, you know, everybody could be a testament of that, like, based on how we dress, the hip-hop culture.
Yes.
You know, our hair.
Yep.
You know what I mean? wearing braids.
Yes. You know what I mean? That was a big thing back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, just to be a black man wearing braids.
Yep.
I could be dressed. Don't matter how I'm dressed.
It's just the fact you got braids.
It's the fact that I got braids.
And they're going to automatically, you're going to automatically be judged and stereotyped.
And I've been judged and stereotyped. But, now, you know, nobody really has said, oh, well, I think you this type of person. But it's just, you know, sometimes you don't get the job.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't, you don't get the look. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Sometimes police will pull you over.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just to see what's going on. And, you know, sometimes it's been unfortunate. You know, waste your time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes it escalated to bigger situations, like we have seen many times before in other states and stuff like that, even this own state.
Yes.
To where, you know, you're being judged. Quick story. When we was at Tech, back in high school, when I was in high school at Tech, we had a hoodie band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At school. And I understood it, but it was still like, we are purchasing these hoodies from the school. We can't wear it at school.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I see in the chat that Marty said fashion, and also the world bought the ski mask when COVID hit.
So facts.
It's like, it was something that was adapted.
Yes.
Based on something else.
And they personalized it.
Yeah.
So the world is responsible for dishing this out as it always has been. Mm-hmm. It's always been this way since forever. You know, and again, even with women, because I have tattoos, I get prejudged all the time too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for the young black men out there, again, and I have a son, as a mother of a 19-year-old young black man, like, my son just went and bought his first car, and I'm supposed to be happy, but I was scared.
That's what I was going to say. And I'm glad you said scared, because I was going to ask you that, because it's like, how scared are you for your son?
I'm scared.
Not just because you bought him a car.
Yeah. I'm scared because you don't have to be into anything. All you have to do is just be black. And he has locks. You know what I'm saying? So I'm instantly like, don't ride around like this. If they pull you over, put your hands on a car. Because they don't even need a reason. You could be doing everything right, and something still can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or people driving recklessly, or other young men who just want to test somebody because of what they're trying to prove themselves mm-hmm. to someone else. Like, it's a very fearful feeling, and it shouldn't be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be that way.
Let's talk about that at the top of the hour. We'll come back from break.
Absolutely. So I want to pose a question to the listeners in the chat as well. What obstacles have young people faced? What obstacles are they currently facing? And how do you succeed when your environment isn't set up for success? We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. That's 833-212-1017. Mm-hmm. We got to go to break to pay this first bill. We will be back. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct in beautiful Third Street Market Hall. Happy Tuesday, Milwaukee. Anybody, everywhere. It's Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. Shout out to the chat, but Bar said, y'all know y'all can use auto pay to pay bills. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. Maybe we need to let the corporate office know.
It bills every day up in here. Yeah.
So listen, June 16th, today is Tupac Amaru Shakur birthday. Anybody who knows me knows that is someone I looked up to growing up, someone I feel like was the last real leader that we had as a youth. And I'm also a board member for his foundation. Shout out to the entire Shakur family. And the conversation that we're having today derives from a clip that I seen in 1994 where Pac was talking to Ed Gordon. Remind you, during this time, he was only 24 years old. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people tend to forget that during that time, Tupac was still a youth, and he was speaking for the youth.
That's what I was going to say. Like, we way older than Pac was.
Exactly.
I feel like I ain't done half the stuff he did.
Way older. And the question that we're posing today is, how do you succeed when your environment isn't set up for success? So we want to run it back and play this clip so that we can analyze how in 1994, all the way to 2026, we're still dealing with the same situations. Let's run it back.
I'm living in a war zone. It's not as easy as these people are making us think, that they just got some criminal ass black kids with guns. It is not like that. We live in hell. We live in the gutter. We got us stacked up 80 deep in one building. You know, by the time you get out your house, you strap to protect yourself. Because you're living in the same community that the police is carrying rifles and riot gear. Same, they need them riot, excuse my language, I'm so sorry. The same reasons they need the riot hat, the riot jacket, the flak jacket, the double vest, the 9mm Glocks with extra bullets, the tear gas, the mace, all that. Who do you think the police is using that against? Dogs? So we fighting the same villains that they fight in the street. But instead of them seeing us fighting villains in the street, we all villains.
Is your generation the one that is picking up for where the Panthers left off, saying, all right, enough is enough? The generation before us forgot about the fight. We're picking it back up.
Not only forgot about the fight, forgot about us. Yes, and we're picking it back up. But at this level, all we're trying to do is unite. And right now, as a year, we got 1 million people that's listening. Now we can tell them something. Now we can try to get them that way. And we might lose some. We might gain some. But we would never even had that audience had we not said what was real. You know what I'm saying? And the main thing for us to remember.
Shout out to Pac, man. Shout out to Ed Gordon for even having this interview. And in the chat, I seen that they said they couldn't hear the sound. You can go to YouTube and type in Tupac Shakur interview with Ed Gordon. But basically what he was saying is that the perception when it comes to young black men, mind you, this was 1994. The perception was that they are just bad youth, horrible youth running around with AR-15s and Glocks terrorizing their neighborhoods, when in all actuality, they are the villains. They are the youth that's fighting the villains who's up against them. The same way that the police do. The same way that the police come in the neighborhoods with riot gear and helmets and vests and all of these other things. They're in these the same environment with none of it. And they're surviving. All they can do is protect themselves from the same environment. You know, so it's 2026. This is the same stuff we're still dealing with, and that interview was in 1994.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It don't make no sense. There, again, the question is, how do you succeed when your environment isn't set up for you to succeed? When your environment isn't set up for success? We want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. I say it all the time. You know, I've traveled a lot, and I've lived out of state, and majority of the reason why I did was because I wasn't healed. Whenever I would come home, it was like everywhere I went, it was memories, good and bad. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can you heal in the environment that made you sick? It's impossible. You have outlets, you have things you can do to try and escape it, but the reality is, at the end of the day, you got to go back to that neighborhood, go back to that house, go back to whatever it is that you're dealing with inside of that household, on top of the school environment. So when we're analyzing our society as a whole, and I'm going to be specific when I say Milwaukee society, when we're analyzing our society as a whole, we're looking at just the parents. It's the parents. It's the household. I know a lot of parents, students that I have who parents are amazing. They come from a two-parent household. It isn't the household. It's the society. It's their friends. It's social media. But you have the household. You have the school. You have social media. You have when they're out and about in the streets, at the park, everywhere they go, the environment is not set up for them to win. And somehow we think that it's just in a snap of a finger that they're not supposed to be out here wearing ski masks and having team takeovers and shootouts and everything else that they got going on. We have not properly set the table for them. We have not built a society that is safe for our youth. And somebody has to say it.
I mean, most of that when we was young used to be like separated from the youth, you know. Like, most of that we didn't see or didn't get to be a part of. It was more adult. It was more adults that kept kids away from stuff like that.
Facts. That's a fact. I remember this vividly. I grew up on 14th of Burleigh, and when we were little, like when we were younger, all of the youth over there, if ever there was an issue, and at this time I didn't know, I didn't understand it, but as an adult, I know. They say, hey, if y'all see a whole bunch of cars pull up in the street, y'all go in the house, going to the bathroom, get in the tub. We ain't asking no questions. We not even scared. We just doing what the adults, and at this time, they not even really adults. They like 17, 18, 19. They were the YNs at that time. But they're telling us to get out of the way. No matter what situations they got going on, it didn't affect those around them. It didn't affect the women, the elderly, and the children. We're in an environment where that no longer exists. And at some point, again, I feel like we have to take accountability for that. Even our generation. I think we was talking about that when Genesis was on here. Even our generation, we have to take accountability. We're so focused on our careers that we didn't get a chance to reach back. Now we're reaching back. But in our 20s, we didn't have the time. We were trying to get ourselves together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it's just way more information out here, like for the youth to access, to know what's going on with the adulthood, you know. At first it wasn't like that. I didn't know what my dad could be doing.
Yes.
You know, I just know he wasn't at the house at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That
he was at work. Whether he was or not. That's what we was told. You know what I mean? And we went to do some kid stuff.
Yes.
And we wasn't even dragged into the adult stuff. Like now kids are being dragged into adult conversations.
Yep.
Or being able to sit through adult conversations, being able to be around the adulthood stuff. And it's just like, how do we
get there?
We know how we got here.
Yeah.
How do we get away from that? You know what I mean? To give the youth and the teens or the kids their own, you know.
Absolutely. The crazy thing is, listening to that clip, again, Pac was only 24 on that clip. And when you look at the 24-year-olds now, not all of them, I'm not going to group them together. But when you look at a lot of what's happening with our youth, they are following behind a leader who is 24 that's sending them off. So we don't have young adults who are leading, who are thinking critically like a Tupac, right?
Yeah.
We have some young adults who are enticing the youth and sending them off doing their dirty work, mm-hmm. and then they benefit from it on the back end, right? So again, it's mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling. And when I look at the youth and how they maneuver, I see a whole bunch of leaders. I see a lot of independent young men and young women. They know who they are. They have the confidence. They know exactly what it is that they want to do. They're very rebellious. They're just misguided. They're misguided, but they will make great leaders had they had the proper guidance, and it's still not too late. Still not too late. So to all the listeners out there on the chat, on the radio, my call to action to you all this week is, when it comes to our babies, think like a Tupac Shakur. It's crazy because this man was only 24 when this interview came out, and we have adults who still don't even have the same ideology. At some point, we have to step up. We have to understand that it's bigger than just this. It's the world. Shout out to my cousin Marty in the chat, to his point when he said the ski mask. That's something the world put out. They just took it and ran with it.
I mean, but it's something that just came to my mind, too. Because that's like, remember the movie South Central?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's like that.
Yes.
His friend. Yeah, they had him stealing the radios.
Yep.
And stuff like that. And then his dad was trying to get in his life, and he wasn't really accepting it.
Yep.
And then it's kind of like that. And that led me to think of, like, why don't we have more movies to depict stuff like that?
Well, Steve-O and Swift, we got some movie that we got to start writing some scripts.
We got too many movies to binge watch?
I think we have enough movies that depict that, but we don't have enough movies to show them something different, right? Like, it always start this way, but it never ends. You know, for the most disheartening thing about South Central was that it was his friend who was sending his son off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the understanding of that, Like, is that being put in movies today, you think?
I don't think so.
Like, the messages like that?
No.
That we get, that we got from it?
Absolutely not. I don't.
Like, even the boys in the hood.
No.
With Trey, getting, you know, leaving his mama, having to go to his dad's house because she can't handle it.
As a young man.
Yeah.
We don't, there isn't an industry, in the industry, I don't believe that they're currently making anything to depict that. Like, I'm glad you brought that up, because we talk about the music piece all the time. But with the TV shows and the movies, it's none of that. It's actually the opposite.
Just purely entertainment.
Purely, when you look at a Power, and I watch Power, but I'm grown. You got a high school teenager whose father is who he is, and he's in the same life, and there's nothing his parents can do about it, so they embraced it to a certain degree. Everything you see with the youth is putting them in these positions to mm-hmm. where they appear to be.
Like going against their parents.
Going against their parents and living a life that they don't necessarily have no business living. We want to hear from you. Shout out to all the listeners in the chat. We are talking, how do you succeed when your environment isn't set up for success? 833-212-1017. We got to go to commercial break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. California, yeah. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler Digi Meech. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. Third Street Market Hall. It's Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. Meech, what's the word?
What's the word?
What's the word?
No, I'm sweet.
Listen, we are talking youth in Milwaukee. We are talking happy birthday to the amazing, iconic, legendary leader, Tupac Shakur. We played a clip earlier of him sitting down in 1994 with Ed Gordon, and he was speaking on facts as it pertains to the youth and how they're looked at based off of the society. And the question that we're posing is, how can these youth succeed when the environment is not set up for them to succeed?
Yeah.
We want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. Shout out to the chat. Anita said Tupac was special in the way he spoke in 1994 at his age. Not really a city girl, says ambition. You have to get it. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable in spaces that may not want you there. Claim your sense of purpose, set goals, and execute. It's always people ready to help. And to that point, not really a city girl, we talked about that, you know, earlier in the show, that when you're walking down the street as a youth in your attire. So let's go back to our generation, our mm-hmm. time, when we was talking about the 3X white tees, the 3X pants,
yep.
everything we wore, and we were just merging hip hop. Like, it was the culture, right? Doesn't mean that we're out here in the streets hustling, doing none of that stuff, but we're automatically grouped in as that type of person because of what we have on. So with the youth, it's like they have on the ski mask, which, to Marty's point, was actually introduced during a pandemic, right? They have on hoodies and 90 degree weather, all of this other type of stuff. When all actuality is because they want to hide or they got something going on, whatever it is that's happening, every time they walk down the street, someone looks at them as if they're afraid of them. Mm-hmm. Someone is going to, even if they not own nothing, they're going to group them with the youth that are. And then at this point, it's like, why do I even care? If you gonna look at me a certain way, and I see it all the time, even in the high schools and how the students deal with the teachers, it's like, you always think I'm lying, or whatever the case may be. If you have a prejudgment about me already, why do I care? Why should I care?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of gets me thinking that, how's it acceptable to any other race to basically, you know, back then, in the days, you know, for any other race to wear baggy clothes.
Gothic.
No, I'm saying. No, listen to me. I mean, dark baggy clothes. Yeah. But any other race to wear baggy clothes, hat to the back, big T-shirt, mm-hmm. breakdancing, that's hip-hop, right?
Come on now.
Now, that's hip-hop.
Yep.
If it's on any other race, if they do it, that's hip-hop.
Yeah.
If we do it, it's...
thugs.
It's thugs. Like, yeah. And some of it be coming from our own community. Yeah. So it's like, how much has our community accepted our own culture, and how much of the community has disregarded their culture.
I love that you said that, Meech, because it made me think about the fact that it is culture. I think that the society is not understanding that the way that the youth is dressing is based off of their culture currently in this generation.
Yeah.
Their artists, their athletes, the actors that's of their age, everything that they see pertaining to their generation, they are mimicking.
Yeah, because we was
like
mimicking Allen Iverson.
Exactly.
You know, those type of athletes.
The Don't Ban the Snowman t-shirt.
Yeah, the whole Atlanta culture, we was following that. You know, even the New York with the boots, backwards hats, caps, the jerseys.
It's culture.
Yeah, all that's culture.
It's culture. And to your point, right, going back to my comment, it's acceptable in white households for their children to walk around with gothic attire. It's acceptable in society, and they claim it as emo, right? This is cool. There's no problem with it.
Yeah.
But as soon as our babies are out here wearing hoodies in 90-degree weather, ski mask, whatever the case may be.
It's the negative part of
the culture. It's the negative part of the culture.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of students who dress that way but are very, very good, great young men. I promise you. They have not an ounce of hood or anything inside of them. It's just a part of the culture. That's it. And whether it's acceptable or not, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, Zach just said all them layers in that 100-degree weather is unsanitary.
Yeah, I feel like the real question is why do you have that on when it's that hot out anyways? You shouldn't be wearing it.
You shouldn't. But to them, they're trying to hide from the world.
I mean, they got on jeans.
I'm sorry, but I'm not buying that excuse.
I work with the kids. I see it. They're
I think it's an excuse for sure.
Half of them, they're trying to hide from
self-esteem,
the world. Self-esteem. And the other
acceptability,
half
all that.
Is that they be in some stuff in the streets. And to Meech's point earlier, they don't want to be seen because they can't be seen because they are survivor. They're in survival mode, right? Mm-hmm. They walking around getting how they live. They may have done something to survive. And now as safety measures, they have to walk around like this. And when you think about it and you actually sit back and analyze it, all of them, you can't tell who from who because they all look the same.
Yeah.
It's really smart if we're talking defense mechanism. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand.
I mean, I'll be saying that you don't know what they're planning at the end of the day.
You don't.
You know, when it was 100 Black Panther affiliates, you know, it was power to the people.
Yeah.
You know, you see 100 all black YNs.
Yeah.
They finna do a snatch and run.
They finna do a you snatch and mean? Run. But again, it goes back to the point of the environment not being set up for them to succeed. I wholeheartedly am tired of adults not taking accountability because they're half of them are just now approaching the age where they can work for themselves and provide for themselves. Right? Mm-hmm. They are not responsible for laws. They are not responsible for building up infrastructure in the city. They're not responsible for anything other than going to school and being a child. So who's responsible for the state of the environment? We are.
I mean, not right now. They're getting blamed and people giving them the responsibility of messing things up in neighborhoods they aren't supposed to be in. But at the same time, why they aren't supposed to be there?
So, for example, right? I don't know
why black kids can't go to Bayshore.
That part. Why they can't go to Mayfair. Look how many youth
was. There's no Central Midtown Mall.
At all.
No Northside Mall.
Mean, nobody's saying they can't be there.
No, like, they are.
I mean, basically.
They're saying you can't be there at a certain time without having a parental guardian, but if we look at
we know them rules been in place for a minute.
That's why they have to have those established.
We know them rules been in place for a minute, but it's basically saying when they say they finna gather up at this place, why can't they?
Yeah.
Or
because where else is they supposed to gather?
Because most of the time they can't because you assume what's gonna happen if they do.
Exactly.
So that's why they can't.
Exactly. We got a caller on the line. Brandon, are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tapping in with us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope y'all doing well. I just like to say, I really think a big problem with our community is we seem to be romanticizing all of the wrong things. You know, this is why a Frank Lucas or a Big Meech or anybody who was like a top high-level criminal seems to get so much reverence in our community. The reality is, you know, a lot of these children, they don't have much direction. They are not adequately prepared to become full-fledged citizens. They don't get the skills that they need inside the schools. And, you know, we can all pretend like there's someplace special for them. And the reality is, a lot of them are on a very slippery slope to incarceration. And that's not all their fault. You know, I totally understand how you guys are saying, you know, that they're not being put in a position to win. But I don't understand how each generation, and I'm a millennial now, I'm 36, 37, we're all saying the same thing to the generations coming up under us. These were the same comments that were said to me by my folks.
Facts.
You know, like, in Milwaukee, there's no places for you to play. There's no, like, these are problems we're very well aware of. And if pretend like at 90-degree weather, this kid, who I know comes from a school system that isn't preparing them to do anything except be a fairly exceptional criminal, their ski mask is just because they want to hide. Like, no, you've got a ski mask on because you're up to nefarious activity. And, you know, like, if we could just please stop not being honest about what we're dealing with. The vast majority of the problems in our community are coming from folks who are under 18.
It is. And I agree with you, Brandon, but I have to stop you there when you say that it's not just because they're hiding, because it is. When you look at the youth, they have low self-esteem. Low, I'm talking, their self-esteem is lower than I've ever seen any generation.
Can I push back on that? Can
Absolutely.
I push back on that? Low self-esteem isn't unique to Gen Z, isn't unique to Gen Alpha. Low self-esteem, you know, like, there was a period where our forefathers were not able to even walk on the same streets as individuals who are white. And you can't tell me that they weren't suffering from low self-esteem when you couldn't even look at a white person in the eye.
But they were given the tools.
I can understand completely.
They were given the tools. The difference is they were given the tools to be, to learn. They had fathers, certain fathers in the house, a certain structure. There is no structure.
I don't disagree with you at all, ma'am. Yeah. I just disagree with the idea that not calling a spade is going to help. These kids, many of them are full-fledged criminals.
Well, we said that, though.
They're doing some of the worst stuff.
We said that. We said 50% of them have low self-esteem and are hiding, and the other 50% are in survivor mode doing activities where they can't be seen.
I think you hit it right on the head when you said the culture. Because you can have great parents, you can have a great upbringing, and the culture of your peers pulls you to be in that stoli.
Yes.
And with the dirty gun in the back, and now your life has changed forever. And you can't address that and account for that by talking. The reality is, it's like, it starts with, I would hope, just starting with two parents in the household, I think you have a puncher's chance. I don't want to monopolize the time, but I really enjoy what y'all talking about, and I wish y'all the best.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Shout out to the chat. Babar said, parents got to let them be kids. You got the boys being the ideal men at the age of 6. And that's another thing, too. And I'm going to attest to that, because as a young lady, I was helping pay bills in my house. I was working. I've been making money, taking care of myself financially since I was 12. And by the time I hit 15, I got a job. And my mama could no longer say, well, you don't pay bills around here. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So because I do pay bills around here, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Let me ask you this before we go to break. When did our generation change? Like, basically take heed and understand that we're getting ourselves in trouble. You know what I mean? Take pretty much everything that we're saying and make the change. I don't see no change in our generation. Like, most of the people are still the same people. You know, people done growed up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got more responsibility. They making better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But what caused our generation to change? Was it the commercials we seen? Was it, you know what I mean? Like, what was the ticket point?
It was the environment. Because there became a point where, so earlier he mentioned, you know, criminal activities and people that we glorify, right? The difference with our generation is that, for example, you have some men who was in the streets, right? But everybody that they idolized still had a business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think they just got weeded out by going to jail.
They did, but
getting killed.
The environment was set. They had people, the older guys around them, no matter what they was involved in, they ideally transition out of whatever they was doing. The goal has always been not to stay in the streets, but to leave the streets so you can escape it and have something for yourself. These children are doing the opposite. They're running to the streets, mm-hmm. away from the households that's protecting them, away from, you know, whatever it is that's going to put them on the path to succeed because of society and what it is that they see. Like, and then also, too, we come from a generation where our grandmothers were older. They were in the household. They come from the South. They cut different. The grandmas now is our age.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some of the traditions are not being passed down.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with our generation, I think, is that we knew we wasn't accepted, but we
embraced it.
That's right. made sure that we was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We made sure, like, you know, it's not accepted, but y'all gotta have to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because we was the revolutionary generation in a sense. Like we pretty much the only generation that was part of the old school.
And the new school. Yep. That's
like
a
we
fact.
Was right in the middle.
Golden era.
So I mean, that's how we feel, you know. The chat might think different, but you know, let's talk about it when we come back from break.
Absolutely. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. Yeah. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, Digi Meech. We are live in direct Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. Happy birthday, Tupac Shakur. Shout out to all of the younger generation. No matter what it is you got going on, we want you to know that we love you. We support you. We've been where you are. We understand, and we are here to offer guidance mm-hmm. and assistance. And the topic of today is, how is it that how can our youth properly succeed when the environment that we've created is not built for them to be successful? It's not possible. It's not possible for them to succeed. Madi, shout out to Madi. Madi, you haven't been in the chat a couple days. So what's going on? Let me find out. You listening to another station. He said, follow behind culture. My kids don't wear hoods or ski masks in daddy house. I'm the only gangster in my house. But Bar said, what y'all want me to do to fix this with children, teens, and young adults in the community? You know what? Can we get a effect for that, man? Because out of all of our listeners, this is the first time we've had someone ask, what can they do? Seriously. And that's important. What do y'all want me to do to fix this with the children, teens, and young adults in the community? What can he do?
What can he do? What people in the community could do? Mm-hmm. What he can do personally?
He's asking what it is that he can do personally.
Stay listening to the truth. But no, you could. I mean, take action. You know, when you see a youth, ask them a question.
Get
you know, off. Ask
them. Extend an olive branch.
Yeah. You know, it's not. Because most of the time they walking nervous, mm-hmm. walking, you know, scared. It's basically, you know, be nice.
Honestly.
Be an adult.
That part. It can be something as simple as when you see them, speak.
Yeah, that's why I said be an adult.
Because we think about how often we walk past them and don't acknowledge them at all. Can you imagine if you was walking, you know how it feel?
I say, what's up, little bro?
Yeah.
To all of them.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, big bro? What's up, OG? I'm Unk now. What's up, yeah. Unk?
Yep.
Crazy.
Icebreakers.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You could keep it going. You know, I look them in their eyes. Yeah. That's something my dad told me to do.
Yes.
You know, you look a man in his eyes.
Yes.
Make them feel like a man, not a YN.
That part.
A man.
That part.
You know, and like I said, you got to be the adult. Don't be scared to be the adult just
exactly.
because they might have a weapon.
Yes.
Or whatever. You're not it's not an altercation until you make one.
That part, Meech. That part. I echo the same sentiments. Start an icebreaker. If you see a a young man or a young lady, but preferably a young man in the streets, and they look like whatever they look like, speak.
I mean, we don't want to sit here and dwell on the young men, because it's females too that be riding in these cars.
It is. So that goes to the women as well.
I mean, but do you consider the ladies YNs too? That's a good question.
I was a...
I mean, you was a YN. Bye.
I was, what is the tire for the young
I mean,
ladies?
But that, at the same time, that's... they in a the YL? Cars with, you know, you'll see a car full of kids. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just boys.
So the reason why, and I'm glad you
So I don't want to kind of dwell on the young men all the time.
The reason why, and I'm glad you brought that up. The reason why I specifically said young men is because I feel like the young ladies are easier to reach. I feel like there's more.
Think organi- so?
Yeah, that's my personal opinion. I do, based off of what's in the society and community. There's more.
They got a more attitude.
They do,
layer,
but
layer.
There's a way we can reach them. We reach them through things that they like hair, makeup, nails, lashes, girly stuff. There's organizations. There's more young organizations for young women to be a part of than there is young men.
Yeah, it's more resources.
It is
given
for the young ladies.
For the young ladies, you know, i.e., being getting pregnant or you know, getting abused or whatever the case is. It's more resources directed towards.
A lot of single parent households are led by women, so the girls always have a woman in the house. 9 times out of 10, the young men don't have a man in the house.
I mean, a lot of organizations. It's led by women, too.
That's a fact. Yep, that's a fact. And for the organizations who are youth-based and host majority of young men, they have a certain structure, you know, a certain structure about them that the YNs don't like. They want to be able to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I thought Fonzo said females are YGs. I thought about that.
YGs. I was a YG. I had...
Bruh.
Open face, rose gold, diamond cut, golds. I got a tat at 15. I have female jabos. I was really Zulu.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we talked, I think it was last week, we were talking about how fast females is. You know, is that still the idea with the females? Like when you see them riding, is that it?
I believe so. Let's talk about it. Before we do... Last week, we had a very special guest in the building. We had MJ in the building. Shout out to MJ. And he provided us with an exclusive song.
It's the song of the day?
It's the song of the day, Meech. It's the song of Pretty Woman. Oh, my gosh. Listen, I love this song. I'm excited to even announce this song. Shout out to all of the listeners. When we come back from break.
Yeah, we continue the conversation.
We're going to go ahead and continue the conversation, but please enjoy.